Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Midday Magazine for this Friday, September 6th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Maloff here. In part two, we're going to be joined by our great friends from the Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Central Wisconsin. Beth is going to be with us. We're looking forward to talking with them and about some really cool things they have going on. Right now, a conversation we look forward to every month when he joins us, Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug. Scott, it is good to have you with us. How are you?
I'm great. I'm excited. Apparently, I came and talked today. How about that? Yeah. Good to be here, man. Yeah.
It's good to have you with us, man, and great to hear from you. Scott, first thing I want to start off with, we talked about this a little bit already, but you've been doing a lot more traveling. You have a different district that you're covering right now. I'm curious, one, are you getting all your steps in? And two, how are you enjoying it?
Yeah, steps have not been a problem in the last 2 weeks, and they probably won't be until November 5th. So that's the good side of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, it's really interesting just having the new district that I have. I mean, I still obviously have the greater Rapids area and northern Adams County that I've always had, but now it's gone a little further south into Adams and Friendship, and then especially across the lake over to Juneau County. So getting down and around there, and you know, I've made more trips around Castle Rock Lake this last 2 months than I have in the last 10 years. So I think we're going to try to put a bridge project into the next state budget so it's easier to get across that darn thing. But yeah, it's neat. It's fun being back in Juneau County where I was a sheriff's deputy back in the 90s and seeing all the things that have changed the last 25 years and seeing all the people again. So it's been fun, actually.
Good to hear. Really good to hear. What is some of the feedback you're getting as you're traveling around, knocking on doors, talking to citizens, constituents?
Well, the funny thing is still after 14-some years of knocking on doors that I still run into more doors than not who say, well, nobody's ever been here before, or, you know, I just moved here. So, I mean, it's always new voters, it seems, that you don't expect after doing this time after time after time that you still come in. Most of the contacts are actually people who I haven't seen or haven't talked to or haven't met at their doors. So it's more of an introduction at this point than anything else. But people that have been around for a while that have built up the relationship already, they get into the issues. You know, we're talking more federal issues come up at the doors than state issues. I mean, people are talking immigration, inflation, and all those things. And, you know, a lot of that stuff that we just don't control at the state level, but that's the top of mind for them because they get force-fed that through the media. You know, every 10 seconds you got an ad on TV about the national elections. And so it's kind of hard to cut through the federal stuff sometimes when you're running a statewide or a state campaign.
Scott, you know, I didn't have this question lined up for you, but just kind of going off of what you were saying there, do you feel that most people you talk to understand your job? Like, know everything you're in charge of. I talk with Lance Plimel from time to time about this, or even Sheriff Becker comes up sometimes where there are certain things that, yes, you go to your sheriff or you go to your, you know, head of your local city's board or what have you on. And then there are things that, well, that's not in their department. Do you feel that most people you talk to understand what you can do and what you can't do, if you will, to for lack of a better way to put it?
You know, usually I'd say most of the contacts that we get are probably people who, you know me at least, but don't know what part of the problem I can help them deal with. So, you know, it's not to denigrate anybody who calls, but yeah, for the most part, people really don't understand the different variations of who can do what. Most of the calls in our office, you know, I have issues with my Social Security check or something like that. Well, that's a federal issue. Or, you know, I wanted to call and find out why you guys didn't pass this HR bill. I'm like, well, that's Congress, you know. That's always the first part of it. And the second part of it, though, is always like, okay, hey, I know it may not be me directly, but here's the number for somebody that can help you with it, actually. So I really pride myself on just being able to be that resource, even if it's not us that's helping solve the problem. We're going to be the ones that say, hey, call your local ADRC, or hey, call your county, you know, sheriff's department, or call your congressman's office, or here's the number, you know, we can help figure it out that way. But yeah, it's tough for people out there to try to remember who all can do what and how somebody can help when you're going through a really sticky situation. You're not really trying to think about who the exact right person to call is. You just want somebody to help.
I appreciate it. Part of the reason why I enjoy talking with you and I enjoy working with you is you always take that extra step. You do things that not everybody will think of to do, and I appreciate that even if you can't help, you will help direct them in the right, put them in the right direction. I think that's an extra step that not everybody does. I appreciate that, man. And I really hope that I didn't come across there like I was trying to insult my fellow citizens or anything like that, because this is a topic that I think is important that we talk about more and we're open about. I think part of the reason I'm bringing it up, I grew up in a political family. I was tested on this stuff by my grandfather when I was young. I imagine not a lot of people grew up like that. And I want more people to not only be engaged in politics, but understand politics better. I think that leads to only better informed voters, which is how we can kill misinformation in many ways. I think that every opportunity we have to share these things, it's important, because I think oftentimes people don't ask questions because of shame or because they're afraid, oh, I should know this, so asking the question is going to show that I don't know. It's okay if you don't know. There's lots of people out there that don't. This is how we learn. Nobody's going to shame. I don't think anybody should shame anybody for that stuff. I think this is a societal thing, not an individual thing, that we all need to be better about. It's okay if you don't know. You need to ask. Asking somebody like Scott is a great resource and a great way to get the ball rolling and find out more about these things.
Scott, yeah, even in the long run, it even helps me in the long run if somebody calls me and doesn't know exactly what I do or what I can do to help them. But it helps build that relationship for some time down the road if they do need something. Then we've already talked, we've already met. So, most people, honestly, still most people just won't call, period, because they don't know who to talk to. So that's the bigger thing, is at least reach out and talk to somebody and they can get you on the right path.
Speaking of talking to people, this is something you've been doing. You announced a while ago a series of listening sessions across the district. Are you still doing any of those? How did they go?
Well, now it's all mobile listening sessions now, because we're so far into the campaign season. So now we're back to, step-by-step door knocking here. And, the listening sessions we did have were pretty well attended, actually, especially over in Mesita when we tried that one just to see what would happen with the new district coming up. I probably had more people at that listening session than I've had at one in the last 10 years. Rapids, we didn't actually have anybody show up at the Rapids one. That's happened a few times at the library when we've tried to do listening sessions in Rapids. That either it's a nice day out or people are busy or whatever it might be. But,
I was doing my one-man show that day. I was doing my one-man show that day, and I made people come see me. I'm a little surprised by that, actually.
We've seen it a few times where, we do promote it. We do try to get it out as much as we can. And it's really hard to get that message out to people that we're doing something without trying to find a budget to pay for that message, which we really don't have. So we try to, advertise the best we can for those things on Facebook and other social media platforms and other avenues. And if people get there, they get there. If they don't, that's okay. That's their opportunity to do what they want with it. I'll sit there on those days, and if nobody shows up, then that's okay. I'll get caught up on some other real estate stuff or something. But
the next time, the next time you do have something like that going on, please always feel free to reach out to us as a station. We will always, let our community know those events are going on, and we want to make sure to promote those. As I always like to say, WFHR has no party. We are not in anybody's hands here. We're not in anybody's pocket or anything like that. And we are adamant about being that and always being that. We will support you and any of our local representatives, no matter what initial is in front of your name. So we want to make sure to, make people know about those things and be able to attend them. I'm happy to hear that. For one, your feet get a little bit of a break, but the sessions for the most part have been attended and been well. That's good to hear.
It's been nice. It's always fun to meet people, and most of the time we don't talk anything controversial. It's just updates, so people shouldn't feel shy about coming if they don't agree with me. That's fine. If you don't, just come and tell me why. Let's figure out what we can do to make something more open and communicative. So just when you see them, just come on out.
One of the things that you've put a lot of effort and time into, especially in the last year or two, is RVs and the value and the importance of RVs. And I imagine you're looking forward to accepting an award here in Kentucky sometime, or you did in August. How did that go?
So I didn't actually get down to Kentucky, so
okay.
I'm still
okay.
looking forward to accepting the award because we did not get to go to that conference, unfortunately. So, and it's funny because my wife and I had this conversation, you know, when Labor Day popped up. We're avid campers, right? So we've got our spot down in Bellwood. We camp all summer. We're hardly ever home. The cats live in our house without us. Labor Day comes, we get the camper back, and we're like, okay, time to go home. But it's been nice out, so we're still camping. I mean, it's just one of the ways of life here in Central Wisconsin, and our dealers deserve some of that attention for supplying all the opportunities. So I was happy to help them out and looking forward to, you know, receiving that award from that national association, because that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, no, that really is, man. And I'm looking forward to hearing how it went. Safe travels on it. And I've always wanted to go to Kentucky. Seems like a cool state, beautiful state. We are speaking with Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug right now. And Scott, last week you attended the Northern Lighting Distinguished Visitors Day at Volk Field. Can you tell us about that, how that went over in Camp Douglas?
I almost forgot about that. That was so cool, right? So now Volk Field is in my district now, and the Hardwood Bombing Range is in my district now. So just having a chance to go over to Northern Lightning and see everything that goes on over at Volk Field and Camp Douglas was just incredible. So they actually got us up on the control tower, and there's a catwalk outside the control tower. So you're standing up on top of that catwalk, and these F-16s and F-35s are flying around. So all the dignitaries standing out around this catwalk, you know, open great catwalk, looking down 80 feet. Like, I'm not a heights guy anyways, but I'm like, okay, I'll try it. And then the control tower has the F-35s, like, buzz the tower when standing out there. Like,
that's awesome.
Like, I'm holding on with both hands just because I'm out there anyways, right?
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
This F-35 comes screaming towards you as loud as could be. You want to cover your ears, but I'm like, no, I'm not going to cover my ears because I want to hang on because it's 80 feet up in the air. So it was awesome. I mean, just seeing all the details of what they go through every day there and the size of that base that I honestly have not been to before. It's just been outside of my district for the entire time I've been in the legislature. So now it's right there. It's right on the edge of it. So now we're full bore into all the things that go along with Camp Douglas and trying to make sure they get the funding they need to achieve the mission they have of preparing our Air National Guard for anything that may come up in the future. So it's now on the priority list, having seen it and done it and representing it. And now it's a whole new level of responsibility.
We really appreciate our people over there and the work that's being done, and great to hear the attention given to that. That you had a great time, and that everybody did. That sounds like a blast. I got to get in on that. That sounds like a lot of fun. This happened recently, but we did not have a chance to touch on it, Scott. So rewinding a little bit to Assembly Bill 945. I feel not only is this an important one, but it touches on local businesses here in Rapids. This is can we catch people up on this bill?
Yeah, so Assembly Bill 945 kind of sprang from a visit I had with folks from UniFirst, who obviously have a facility in Wisconsin Rapids. Maybe most people don't know about it, but they basically felt they were left out of this manufacturer and agricultural tax credit we passed years ago, because UniFirst actually does take, you know, uniforms, repair them, remanufacture them into something, and they felt that, you know, their work actually should qualify under the manufacturer's tax credit so they could afford to do more things for their employees. So we went through the existing tax credit and figured out a way to change it a bit that would allow UniFirst to take advantage of it. We were not successful. The bill did not go through because the Democrats and the governor decided we don't want to expand this tax credit at this time, so they did not want to sign on to it as a bipartisan bill like I've usually seen most of, if not all of my bills end up being. We just could not get any support from the other side to help add to a manufacturer's tax credit, which when it was passed originally was kind of controversial on, you know, partisanship basis, but you know, it's 10 years into it already and shouldn't be controversial anymore. So looking forward to trying to go back and helping UniFirst, you know, get through that process and, you know, expand their ability to have a production facility in Wisconsin Rapids, because it is literally the only reason we did the bill, is just to protect their ability to be in a place like Wisconsin Rapids.
I got to tell you how much, and journalistically, I'll mention, before I started my radio career 20-some years ago, the last job I worked at was G&K in the industrial park, a textile company. They're not called that anymore, but back then, that's what they were, G&K Services. I worked right next door to ServiceMaster and UniFirst and some of the other businesses in our industrial park. And no hard work, the hard work that gets done over there, it's a forgotten job. It's an industry and a forgotten part of our you know, that we don't put enough time or effort into when it comes to some of these bills. And it was really frustrating to me to see that bill not pass. These are people, and these are some of the hardest working people in your community, and you would know if they are not there. And these tax credits can go so far for a business like that, that I'm not sure. I've looked a little bit into these things, but not that detailed. This is an industry that's not hurting, I want to say, but they're losing certain things, and bigger businesses are eating up other businesses. And in order to help local businesses, you need things like this. And especially when they're bipartisan. I really appreciate not only you not letting this go and keeping on, you know, moving forward with it, but hopefully getting it done. You know, they could use it.
Well, it's interesting because when we passed that tax credit back in the day, when it first became a reality, there was another small business in the industrial park that ended up being able to offer a long-term disability program to their employees from the savings of it. I mean, these are real dollars that these companies can put right back into their employees and helping them stay competitive in the marketplace to keep the employees when everybody else is starting to pay higher wages and better benefits. These small businesses need this edge here and there to be able to compete. So whether it's, you know, in the industrial park, which I still have a huge affiliation for because that's where this station was, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yep.
We used to come down there every month and just kind of go through that industrial park and see who was all still in there, in Wisconsin Rapids, still manufacturing.
Yeah,
that's something we have to really pay attention to, is that we just need to keep making things in Wisconsin Rapids, and we're losing that ability more and more every year.
Yeah, well said. Scott, your staff was honored recently to accept the Early Detection Lifesaver Award on behalf of and recognition of the efforts to advance important legislation aimed at early detection of breast cancer in the previous legislative session. Congratulations I don't know if that's the right words, but a big, you know, tip of the hat to you, your staff. I imagine that had to feel pretty good and noteworthy.
It is. I mean, it's always, you know, it's great to end up putting those, you know, awards on the shelf and, you know, seeing the pictures and, you know, feeling the appreciation for people who present them. But in the bigger scheme of things, I think we all know somebody who's been affected by cancer in our lives. And any chance that the legislature has to do some common sense bills to, you know, provide for more funding for early detection and prevention and all these other things, I don't know why we don't do more of that, honestly, every year. But it's when you take the opportunity to do it, it really is recognized, and it's great to be recognized.
Yeah, and I appreciate where you went with that, where I wanted to, too. And anytime we are talking about cancer or cancer research or anything that can be done to destroy cancer, we all need to be getting behind it and paying attention to it and doing whatever we can to help with that topic. While we argue and bicker, especially years like this and times like this, about political parties and this or that and whatever, these diseases are making the rounds on us and laughing. They don't care. They don't care who's in your pocket, who is an R, who is a D, young, old man, woman. They don't care. So we need to come together as a people, as a society, put away our differences and focus on some of the real battles that we need to be focusing on. And one of them is cancer. And it's great to see that, not only for you and your staff and the work that's being done on this, but to bring attention to this as well. Always appreciate being able to do that any opportunity we have.
Yeah. It was, I mean, the actual details of the bill, I mean, it ends up that Wisconsin is going to be one of the biggest research hubs for cancer research in the country, because the bill was able to help leverage federal dollars and better designation for our state to be a research hub. So, I mean, it's not even just initially for breast cancer awareness and prevention. This is for a major research development, kind of coordination and cooperation with the federal government and private companies around the world that are going to start using Wisconsin, our university system, our individuals who live here as the backbone for future research. So it's just, you know, some of those things get lost in the shuffle. Like you said, in a year like this where everybody's bombarded with vote for me or don't vote for so-and-so because blah, 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 forgetting about the real things that we do on an everyday basis is pretty easy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I love talking about these things a lot more than that other stuff, because that other stuff is just not real life. I don't, you know, it's just like, it's here for two more months and then it's gone. And then what are we doing after that? Right. We got to keep our nose down and keep our bills coming out and ideas flowing. So mm-hmm. try not to get distracted these next 2 months with all that, you know, silliness that you see on TV and hear on radio and all that other stuff.
Got to save some attention for playoff baseball. Getting excited?
Yeah, man, I tell you, I finally got to the point where I was trying to watch the Brewers a little bit more and more, but it seems like every time I turn them on, they lose, and every time I don't watch them, they win. So I'm like, oh, maybe I just check the box score the day after mm-hmm. from now on.
Well, I hear you. Now, see, this happens to me every time, but I'm a White Sox fan. So, it, of course, that's going to happen to me. All I got to do is look at that team and get sad. With the Brewers, who I live vicariously through my brother, who was a diehard Brewer fan and friends like you and stuff, I'm excited for this team and to see what they do in the playoffs, because I feel like because of Pat Murphy, I feel like you're going to have a very different playoff team than you have had in years past. And a team that unlike a lot of teams that I see in nowadays, they can be down 7 runs and you look in that dugout and they're all engaged. There's no heads down. There's nobody, you know, kicking dirt or feeling sorry for themselves. They're still trying to figure out how to get back in that game. That is playoff mentality. And Pat Murphy has really instilled that in these players. That's going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's nobody's really playing for their contract. Nobody's worried about their next endorsement deal. It's all these young no names that are just trying to keep a spot on a team for next year, and they're all contributing. And when one's down, the next guy's up, and it's been steady. So you know, you always wonder what's going to happen when you don't have Corbin Burns and Woodruff, and then Yelich goes out, and you're like, okay, it's over. I mean, it's a typical thing every year. It's like, okay, that was fun. Mm-hmm. Now it's done. But now you're even seeing them like national outlets like MLB Network and everything put out odds of who's the best team to have the chance to win the World Series, and the Brewers are at the top of that list right now. It's like, wait, this is going to be fun. So yeah. I can't wait to watch the rest of the season. Well, not watch the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. Follow the rest of the season, because like I said, when I watch, it just doesn't
Scott, great conversation as always. Always appreciate the time. If people have follow-up questions, want to be able to talk to you about some other things, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, this phone's always on, every step, every door, and the phone rings constantly all through the day while I'm doing those, it seems, but not when I'm not busy. So let's try to do it when I'm not so busy at 715-323-3293.
Always appreciate the time. Safe travels out there. We'll talk again next month.
Yeah, you bet. Take care.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.